And then I'm going to go to the book of Hosea later, which is hard to find. But book of John chapter 6. Today I'm going to talk about how the Lord draws us. How the Lord draws us. John chapter 6. And then I'll be in Hosea, which is toward the end of the Old Testament. If you went to Matthew and then went backward, you'd probably find it easier.
If you see John, he's not too far.
John 6, and I'm going to start at verse 41, and we'll start there. It says, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I'm the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, who father and mother we know? How then is that he saith, I came down from heaven?' Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, 'Murmur not among yourselves.'" This is John 6:44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God, every one, therefore, that had heard and had learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God and that has seen the Father." And go down, I'm going to also read verse 65. "Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father." No man can come except it were given unto him of my Father. So, we see a couple of verses I want to focus on. Verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And then verse 65, "Therefore I say unto you, no man can come to me except it were given him of my Father." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that the word would be clear. I pray it be by you, Father. I pray it be the word of God, given by God. That your spirit would speak and we would hear. Lord, we have needy people. We are all needy, Father. And we need your spirit to move. And I pray that our minds would be clear. We would not be distracted. And I pray that your spirit would speak in a powerful way. Many things need to happen, Lord, for a great decision to be made. You need to speak. Our hearts, our ears need to be our ears to hear, and our hearts need to be tender. And we need to take the step, Lord. And I pray all these things would come together this morning, and you need to do a work in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord must draw us. The Lord must draw us. And it's two different things here: for salvation, and then back to him when we wander. God's got to draw us back to him, and God has to draw us to himself. You can't totally of yourself just say, "I want God." God's got to draw you. Now, you have a free will that says yes when God draws you. But the Lord pulls you to himself. The Lord leads you to himself. The Lord entices you to himself. And he tries to get you back to him, and he draws you, it says. And it says, "No man could come to me," Jesus said, "except the Father draw him." We are depraved creatures, and we have a sinful nature, and we're fleshly. But there comes a point in our life where all of a sudden we start having a hunger or a thirst for the Lord, where we want to go back to God if we've been away from him, where we aren't saved and all of a sudden we want to get saved. But something happens where we are drawn, pulled to God. I started playing with my 2.5-year-old Brooke, hide and go seek. And I don't know how it started, but I go down and hide in my room. I put her upstairs, and then I run down to my room, and I hide. And she's not a really good finder yet. The rest of my kids, we play sardine sometimes. All the lights go out, everything's blacked out, and then we go running around the house and got to find the person hiding. But Rhonda's not good at finding yet. She's just 2.5 years old. And so I usually make it pretty easy. So I go down, and I usually jump on the bed and throw the blanket over myself. And so it's pretty easy to find me, and she'll run up and she'll look around, "Daddy, where are you?" And then all of a sudden she'll see me under the blanket there, and she'll pull the blanket up and just laugh her head off because she found me. And one day I hid in the closet, and I was hiding in the closet. It wasn't too hard to find. I was watching her, and she comes down, "Dada, where are you? Dada, where are you?" And she couldn't find me. And she went back and forth and all over the room, and she couldn't find me. And she looked all over the room, and she just never looked in the closet. And then, one of the things I like to do with Rana is like to get a kiss. And I'll say, "Rana, come here and give me a kiss." And so Rana knows that. And boy, they're manipulative, those girls are. Already when they're little, they already know. It's already built in. And And so all of a sudden she says, "Dad, Dad, where are you? I want to give you a kiss." She calls it a kiss. "I want to give you a kiss. Dad, Dad, I want to kiss you. Where are you?" She's trying to draw me out in her evil woman wiles way. I think Grumpy had it right on the Seven Dwarfs, and they're going to get you with their wiles. "I want a tissue, Daddy. Where are you? I want to give you a kiss." And she was trying to draw me to her. And eventually she won. And she found me. And so she knows that works now, and she can't find me. She gives in, and she starts doing her trick. And she draws me because she wants me. She wants to find me. The Lord draws us. He finds ways to get us to say, "Come here, I want to do that." You do it with a cat. You throw a string out there and you pull it up there, and the cat comes up and you put it on your lap or whatever, and you draw them. And you try to draw different things with different ways. And the Lord wants you. And so he finds ways to draw humans who are creatures who basically want to please themselves and do bad things and be immoral and do a lot of wrong things. And all of a sudden he draws them in many different ways. And all of a sudden we get a spiritual desire and we go seeking after God. Sometimes it's for salvation. The Lord was drawing me to himself. I received him and I said yes. I'm not saying you don't have a free will. I had a free will to say no to Rana. Okay, the cat has a free will to not chase the string. But we are drawn to God because God draws us to him. And Jesus says, "Nobody can come to me except the Father draw him." Before I was saved, the Holy Spirit was tapping in my heart. And God was using things in my life to say, "You need me, and don't you want me?" And drawing me to him. Before you started coming back to church, some of you, something started happening in your life, and things started coming in your mind, and you started thinking about it. And all of a sudden, boom, somebody talked to you about coming to church, and you knew, you know what? Something's happening here. God is drawing me back to himself. And the Lord likes to draw us to himself. And so today's message is simply, how does God draw us? How does God draw us? How does God pull us to himself? How does God try to get us to himself? Just a few different things in the Bible here. First of all, we see the thirst for eternal life. The thirst for eternal life. Back in John chapter 6 here, we see Jesus talking immediately about after being drawn to him. He talks about us being drawn to eternal life. He says in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him." Verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and if a man eat thereof, he shall not die. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Jesus said, "I'm going to die on the cross to save the whole world. And if you believe on me, you'll get eternal life." And he says, "I'm drawing you with the desire for eternal life." Since I was 5 years old, probably, and understood there was a God in heaven, and just a little bit, I wondered if I was going to heaven and wanted to go to heaven. I never had anybody come tell me that I could know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I never had anybody tell me until I was 15, just about to turn 16 years old. Then someone told me I can go to heaven for sure out of the Bible. And so I did that. But my whole life, God was drawing me and put a desire to know God. I tried a few things in my life to maybe get to heaven. I tried for a while. I went in a few reformations where I quit cussing so much and quit doing a few bad things. Didn't last too long because I wasn't saved. I didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of me, but I tried for a while. Why? Because the whole time I had a hunger for God and to know I was going to heaven and have eternal life. And there are people everywhere, religious people, of all different religions and background, who are trying in earnest and doing good deeds, living a good life, trying to be good and moral because they have a desire to get to heaven. Now, they're trying to be good and moral will never get them to heaven. Only Jesus will get them to heaven by his death and burial and resurrection. You cannot be good enough to get to heaven. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He said, "I'm going to give my life so you can have eternal life." Jesus said, "I'm going to die on the cross so you can get it." He didn't say you're going to get it because you're a good person. You'll never get to where you're good enough to go to heaven. You need Jesus Christ to save you. But people try all around the world. Why? Because God has drawn them to himself with a desire in their mind and their heart that says, "You need eternal life. You need to get to heaven when you die. And so he draws us to that. Just a chapter back, he goes and talks to a woman, two chapters back in John chapter 4. And he goes to the woman at the well and tells her that you need eternal life. In verse 14, he says, "But whosoever drinketh of this, the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He says, "Woman, you have a thirst in you, don't you? That thirst is for me. That thirst is for eternal life. That thirst is to go to heaven when you die. And if you will receive me as your Savior, that thirst will be satisfied because I'll come into your heart and you will get eternal life. Your thirst will be satisfied." In other words, God gives you a hunger and a thirst. But it's not for food and water. It's for God and for eternal life. And God is drawing you to himself with him. Listen, you'll go out in the world and you'll go away from God as a Christian. It won't take you very long to find out that you're thirsty and hungry for God again. That world will not satisfy you. It'll be some fun. You'll have some entertainment. You'll play around. But you know what? You'll find out that world will leave you empty and thirsty, because the only thing that can satisfy your soul is God. You tried it. You grew up and thought if you just did this and did this, you would have fun and you'd be happy and satisfied. But you got there and your soul said, you're still thirsty and hungry. And only Jesus satisfies, amen? Amen. Only Jesus will satisfy your soul. He draws us with a hunger and thirst for eternal life, to know we're going to heaven and to know God. How else does God draw us? He draws us with hedges. With hedges. I want to explain that in a sec. But if you can go back to the book of Hosea, while you're going to Hosea, I'm going to read out of Lamentations. Excuse me. Lamentations. Hosea is way there back in the Old Testament. It's hard to find. After Daniel. Yep, it's after Psalms. It's before Matthew. It's a little bit hard to find. Lamentations 3 says this. It says, "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy." And so we see the hedges, he hedged him in. And we can see that in the Bible. In Hosea chapter 2, and at verse 5, it says, "For their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived them, hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that gave me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax and mine oil. And my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she find not her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then it was better. For then it was better for me than it was now than it is now." In World War II, as D-Day was coming up, the German general Rommel was very brilliant, on the wrong side, but a very brilliant general. Rommel decided that he did not want anybody landing planes in Normandy or in France or anything, anywhere around there where he thought they might land. So he built up a bunch of hedges between the fields, and it wreaked havoc on the gliders that were landing on D-Day. Because they would hit these hedges and destroy the gliders as they were landing in these fields and kill the soldiers on them. Hedges, if you've never seen a really good hedge, you can't get through them. Hedges can be made out of all kinds of things. Sometimes you see a really neatly trimmed hedge of rhododendrons or of other kinds of bushes, and it's square and it's a block. Sometimes you go to some place, you'll see very tall hedges. And they're a fence. It's a big fence. And it can be of thorns, it can be of bushes, but they are so placed tightly together that you cannot get through these hedges. It is blocking you a certain way, and you have to go around those hedges. And in these chapters, it says God will hedge them in with hedges and block her way with hedges, that she will not be able to go where she is trying to go and not be able to go where she's trying to do. And Jeremiah said, he's hedged me in on every side, and I am blocked in with these hedges. And in Hosea here, it says hedges and thorns. Boy, in the Northwest, a not man-made hedge you can hit is blackberries. You start going through the forest here and you hit a wall of blackberries, you aren't climbing over it or through it or under it. Those things got hands, those thorns do. And they will find you and grab you, and you can't go through them because you're blocked in. And you might say, I can go right there, and it's right where I want to get is right there. But you can't, because there's There's thorns in the way. There's blackberries, and there's a wall of them. And you cannot get through those walls, those hedges. The Bible says God sometimes leads us by hedging us in and blocking our paths and showing us where we want to go. The story of, to illustrate this, God gives us a story of Hosea and his wife. His wife was not named well. Her name was Gomer. And Hosea was told by God and said, Hosea, go take a wife of the children of whoredoms. Go take a wife from the bad side of town where the streetwalkers are. And he says, go and marry this one of these women and have children. And Hosea obeys God, and he goes and takes one of these women, and he marries her, and she becomes his wife, and they have three kids. And God says, name the first Jezreel, which is the name of an area, and he named that because God is going to judge that area. He named the second one Loramiah, and that means not pitied. He says, because I'm not going to pity Israel for their sin. And then he says, marry the third one Loami. Because they are not my people. Wow. God says, you're not my people now. And he says, name your child that, because they're going to see something in you, Hosea. They're going to see you going and taking someone very immoral and treating her well and making children with her. And I went to Israel when she was nothing. And then your wife is going to go away from you and go back to her old life. Because my people went away from me, went back to their old gods, the false gods. And they're going to go immoral, and she's going to leave you. And then you know what you're going to do, Hosea? You're going to go pursue her. And you're going to make it so she comes back to you, and you're going to get her back, because they are not my people right now, but they're going to be my people again. And then he says, it's not all done. Verse 9, then said God, call his name Loami, for they are ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured for number. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. It's going to change. But, so God's, I'm going to bring you back to me. You're not my people, but you're going to be my people again. But in order to do that, I've got to block your way with hedges. And he says, Hosea, I'm going to block your wife's way with hedges. And we're going to teach Israel that when I want to draw him back and everything you're going to try to do, it's not going to work. Because I'm going to make your way not work, because I'm going to draw you away. You're going to try over here and you're going to say, I can't go there. There's a hedge. I want to do this thing. Oh, it's blocked in. And everything's going to block you in every way, and there's only one way to go, is right back to me in the end. And God said, I'm going to block your way with hedges and thorns. You'll never find what you want. You will be blocked in what you're trying to do. Can I tell you this? I have watched this with people's lives. We have watched people leave the will of God in every church I've been in, and every situation. Just over the years, people wander away from God. The prodigal wanders away. And they try to go, and they say, I'm going to do this thing, and they wander away from God. I've watched people who've left their spouse and went off and said, I'm going to find somebody better, and I'm going to leave God's will, I'm going to go party and have the best time of my life. And guess what? They can't find anybody. They might have been able to get a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, their whole life, but God starts blocking their way. They're going to go make $1 million, and guess what? They get fired. And they can't find another job because God's hedging their way. He says, I'm going to bring you back to me. And God says, you can run your gamut. You can try to go every way. But if you think I'm going to open the door for you and make you to be able to just go do what you want to do and go away from me and go to other lovers, I'm not going to do that thing. I'm blocking your way. I'm hedging you in. I'm drawing you back to myself. Not because I don't like you, because you're not my people right now, and I want you drawn back to me. And Hosea, you're going to find out Gomer's going to try all kinds of things, but she's not going to find what she wants. She's going to give away everything you've ever given her. She's going to give away all of your riches and all you've given to her lovers. And she's going to find out everything's blocked and bad and terrible, and she's going to be miserable, and you're going to get her back. And my people have wandered from me, and I'm going to hedge their way in, and it's not going to work for them. And then I'm going to draw them back to me with these hedges. And they're going to find out that the hedge led this way and the hedge led that way. And when they get all done walking, the only way they can walk, they stand face to face with me. Because I'm drawing them back to myself, because I love them and I know what's best for them. Because I love them and know what's best for them. He must block and hinder their way because he wants to draw them back. Verse 5, for their mother, verse of chapter 2, for their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived them and done shamefully. If her, she said, I will go after my lovers, and I will do all these things. Therefore, behold, I will make a hedge thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she cannot find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. That she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will return to my first husband, for then it was better with me than now. If you think the God of the universe is going to let us wander away from him and he's going to bless you and make you better off out of his will, you have not watched Backsliders. You're going to come out and say, what did I leave when I left God? That's what you'll find. And you'll find out that the place of God is a wonderful place, a blessed place, and God leads you back as I'm taking you back full-fledged because I love you. Gomer went away. She was so adulterous, she had multiple children with other men. And God said, Hosea, go pursue her. And Hosea had to go to the other children and find these other children and say, can you tell Gomer that I want her back? These children of adultery. It had been a long time. These children are grown up, and he's talking to these older children and communicating to them, saying, go find your mom, because she abandoned them for other lovers and wandered away. And he says, go tell her, plead with her for me to come back to me. Can you imagine the humbling of that? But listen, isn't it amazing that the God of the universe pursues us? He says, you're going to understand through Gomer how much I love you. Because I'm going to pursue you when you've left me. And when we leave God, God considers it adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, knowing not friendship with the world is enmity with God. God says, you left me and cheated on me with the world or with your money or with whatever. And you're not loving me with all your heart. And I'm going to pursue you anyway because I love you. And you were lost and didn't know anything about God. And I was lost. I didn't know anything about God. And yet God pursued me that whole time. The God of the universe is so in love with you that he says, let me show you through poor Hosea. Go beg with them. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Say unto your sisters, I want her back. Plead with your mother, verse 2. Plead, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Plead with her. Stop her whoredoms and come back to me. And God says, hey, go to Israel, Hosea, and plead for them. I'm going to bring her back to me. I'm going to punish her. She's going to go through trials and tribulations because I'm drawing her back to. I'm hedging her way in. I'm bringing her back to me. The prodigal son went out there and he said when he had came to himself, he lost everything. His great wealth, all of his money. And he said, I'm about to eat pig's food and they won't even give me the pig's food. And he said, what am I doing? I could go back to my father and be better off as a servant than I am here. That sound familiar? End of verse 7. For then it was better with me than it is now. Okay, you ready? I, in my life, am a person who does dumb things. I have watched Backsliders since I was 16. I love them to death. I always go chase after them. I can't help it. Love them to death. I always see him come back broken and miserable. And I have not always loved God like I should. I wish I could say that. But I've always said, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to be that miserable. I've never left the will of God in 25 years. Because I know it's better where I am now in God's will. You know this is what you were looking for. And the devil's going to entice you, but you're going to find out that Hosea was a lot better than those guys who leave in love and leave in love and love and leave and dump you and leave you and take your stuff. And she lost everything. God pursues you for your good. Many times you begin to suffer because God is blocking your way. Look how it's for their good. Verse 7, for then it was better for me at the end of the verse. Verse 9, therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and the wine in the seasons thereof, and recover my wool and my flax to cover her nakedness. Verse 12, and I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards, and my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. That's suffering. I'm going to destroy her lovers gave her these fields and these vineyards. I'm going to destroy those things. I'm going to take away, I'm going to make her suffer. Why would God want to make me ever suffer? Because it draws you back to him. Because you need to realize that he is what you need. And sometimes he has to make us go through that like the prodigal son, but it's for your good. We'll read that in a moment. Number one way God draws us and pulls us with cords, it says. He gives us those things is, first of all, because he gives a thirst of eternal life. Secondly, the way he does it is through hedges and through walls and things being blocked in your life. The third way, and by the way, can I say this? You say that seems kind of mean. No. There are people in this room right now who are so much happier because God made them suffer and they came back. A lot of people in this room. I would venture one third of this room wandered, suffered, and came back and is very happy now. That's not mean of God. You serving him is the best thing that could ever happen to you. And if you stayed there in happiness in the world, you would die and for billions of years wish God would have brought you back somehow. God is good. He's always good, and he draws you back with those hedges. Number three, God draws us, and he draws us to himself, and no man can come to him except the Father draw him with love. With love. Hosea 2 and verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. She's not my husband, but I'm pleading with her. Tell her I want her back. Watch this. The love makes him go try to allure her and seduce her back. Watch how God says, I'm going to seduce Israel and lure her in a good way. I'm going to romanticize her. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, the door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. Oh, she's happy. He says, I'm going to lure her. I'm going to entice her. I'm going to try to seduce her. I'm going to try to romance her. I'm going to try to get her to come to me. And I'm going to say, Israel, hey, there's someone in the forest. Israel, hey, baby, I'm calling you. I want you to come to me. Who's that? Come in the forest, I'll show you. And out there is a love note. You're the most beautiful thing in the whole world. Keep on coming. You're not very romantic, are you? And he keeps on drawing Israel farther in the forest. And all of a sudden, Israel or Hosea walks in, and she's in the forest, and all of a sudden she walks out, and there's a beautiful vineyard. And that's Hosea and says, it's yours, honey, and I love you. You know, this beautiful thing in the world, and I want you back. Israel, I'm going to bring you with wonder and love because I'm alluring you back to me. I'm not doing saying, you stupid woman, what are you doing? Get back here, you slap you upside the head. No. I love you. I'm going to punish you at first, but now I'm going to allure you back to myself. I'm going to draw you back to myself. I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to show you my passion. I'm going to show you my care for you. I'm going to show you just how much I love you. And I'll give her vineyards from thence in the valley of Achor, the door of hope, and she shall sing there. A woman who's loved again and a man who wants her, and she's singing around and walking around, and now she's singing because she's happy again. Why? Because her lover is drawing her back. And when God draws you back, you're going to sing again. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi, my Lord. And thou shalt call me no Lord Baali, which is Baal. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered in their name. And in that day I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the fields and the fowls of heaven. And I'm going to bless her. I'm going to lure her. It keeps on going. I will betroth thee unto me forever. And I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment. End of verse 18, you shall lie down safely. Verse 20, I'll marry you again. Verse 21, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear in the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessed nation. I will draw you back because I love you, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be kind to you. And God comes to us, and he draws us with love. In a love-starved world, in a society of hurt and broken hearts, God draws people with love. You are loved by God. And he says, let me show you my love, and let me show you my passion. And then he goes back into the extent, he says, guess what? Gomer left for decades and decades and decades, had other children, committed adultery everywhere, gave away everything, paid money for adultery, and gave away her precious things for adultery, and lost everything, was poor, and now she wasn't attractive anymore, and she couldn't find men anymore. And all of a sudden, she was starving. And she became a slave. And here is an old Gomer who's wasted her life and wasted her time and wasted everything and gone away and wasted her life. And God says, Hosea. And by the way, didn't heed all the calls of love to come back. And he says, Hosea, we're going to teach Israel, my people, how much I love them. Go by Gomer. And Gomer, Hosea goes down to the slave auction. And there is a beat up, miserable, used older woman. Anybody want her? Hey, well, you can use her for this or that. And Hosea says, that's Gomer. I'll buy her. How much? It may give 50 pieces of silver. No, nobody gives that. 40, 30, 20, 15. Started at 15. I'll take her. Any other bidders? Come on, we got a slave here. Whatever it takes, I'll buy her back. 15 pieces of silver. Probably Gomer sending her looking down, brokenhearted, unwanted, doesn't care who buys her, she doesn't want to live anyway. Her master comes up and grabs the rope. She looks up. There's her husband from decades ago. And says, Gomer, I want you. Come home with me. I've got vineyards for you. I love you. I'm going to spoil you rotten. I'm going to forget everything you've ever done. You're mine. You think she wanted to come home? And God comes and says, let me buy you back. I'm going to the cross and dying. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God has drawn you with his love. He says, I love you so much. Why would you ever leave me? Why would you not want to be saved? Why would you not want to follow me? I love you so much. I gave my life for you. I'm buying you back to myself. I don't care about your sin. Put it behind. Let's get married. You're mine. I don't care about your adulteries and your fornication, your wickedness of the past. And if you can't want to be with that God, you're crazy. Because God draws you with his love. I don't care if your daddy abused you. I don't care if your mom abandoned you. I don't care if your boyfriend beat you. I don't care if your girlfriend left you. I don't care who is mean to you. You got someone who loves you whose love is real and is going to stick. You got someone who loves you and quit looking for love in all the wrong places. And find the love of God because he's drawing you and saying, I love you. You're trying everything else. Come to me. I love you. Quit wasting your time. I'm blocking your way. It's not working, is it? Every path is going to lead back to here. I designed the maze. And no matter which way you try to go, it's coming back to me. And you'll be better off here. He draws you with a need for eternal life. He draws you with hedges of love. And he draws you with just his love. He bought her back. Chapter 3, verse 1, then the Lord said to me, go, yet love a woman, but love to her friend. Get an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel. He says, Hosea, go love her like I love Israel, even though she's adulteress. And Israel has gone to false gods and idolatry, but love her to show Israel how much I love them, who look after other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and homer barley and in half homer barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. He drew her. He drew her with love. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And they called them, and so they went from them, and they sacrificed to Balaam and burnt incense in the graven images. And it taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms. But they knew not that I healed him. I drew them with cords of man, with bands of love. And I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. He says, I drew Israel with bands of love. I roped them with bands of love and drew them back to me. God wants you to love him back. He doesn't say, if you want to go to heaven, keep my commandments. He says, I'll take care of your heaven. Just love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. He doesn't say, I want a bunch of things. He says, I want you to love me back and quit going to the world and quit going to money and quit going to immorality and quit trying to do your own thing. I'm drawing you back to me. Can I say to you, God draws you to him with a desire for eternal life, with hedges that block your way, and with his own love. Don't ever leave him. If you haven't come to him today, you got a God drawing you with love. He loves you. Come to him. Christian, don't go away. He deserves better. He'll pursue you and he'll block your way and do everything he needs to do because he's going to have you back because he loves you and because your way is not better. But he draws you with love. Don't you want to stay with that God? Let's pray. Father, we have people who long for real love. Long for real love. And Lord, you can only give that the best of love. We can find some good love down on earth with the right people, but it's, Lord, it's ultimately you're drawn to us with love. I pray today, Lord, if some people have never been saved today, they'd realize that you're drawing them to eternal life. If this day was a planned day, that they aren't in this service for an accident, that things I said in the sermon, Father, were from you to speak to them because you're drawing them. I pray if there's some Christians today who you blocked their path and have hindered their way and put up hedges in their life, they'd realize they shouldn't be angry, they should be thankful and just go back to where they were better off. And the prodigals return. And today we realize we have a good God who draws us and brings us to himself because you do, because you're good, God. I pray we'd understand your love through the story of Hosea. And I pray that you draw us to you with bands of love. And if there's anything between us and you, we'd get out of the way because we have a loving God who deserves, after all the pursuit you've given to us, to be loved back. And we jump into your arms with everything we have and love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.